With me this next hour, you are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, asking the question, why wait for heaven? On 1-2 Radio, changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is March 11th, 2016. Today on A Course in Miracles, I'm excited to welcome back author Susan Dugan. And our topic today is workbook lesson 132. I loose the world from all I thought it was, which I think is just perfect as a follow-up to what we were talking about last week, because we were looking at workbook lessons 68 through 70, which we're really focusing on and talking about the effect of holding grievances in our life and what that does. So when Susan suggested lesson 132, I thought, oh, this is just perfect. So if you have a copy of the workbook handy, you might want to just grab it and read along with us, or, you know, or sit back and just listen. Now, I know many of you are familiar with Susan. She's written a number of books, and she's also the co-founder for the School of A Course in Miracles here in Denver, Colorado. And she facilitates a lot of ACIM study groups here as well. So if you're local to Denver, you may want to check that out at the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center. So if you want more information about that, you can always get it from me, or you can just, you know, Google that name, or you can also get it from Susan's website as well. And I'll make sure that you have those by the end of the show. But in any case, let's get going. Let's talk about this lesson. You can also join us today. And you can come play with us and in the 1-2 Radio chat room, which is on Facebook. And if you are new to the show today, I want to say welcome. Thanks for finding us. And we do have a private group on Facebook that we kind of chat back and forth in during the shows. And if you want to get to that Facebook page, one of the easiest ways is to go to the 12radio.com website. And on the left side of the page, you'll see a chat button. Just click that and it'll automatically send you over to Facebook and you can ask to join our group. So I will join you there. But for right now, I'm going to join Susan Dugan. So Susan, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, C.A. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and what a great lesson. I mean, truly, this is the perfect follow-up. I know numerically it's not the perfect follow-up, but you know, what I was thinking about this lesson as I was reading it after you suggested it, this is one of those lessons in the workbook that I swear, if you only got this lesson, you have the whole thing.
Right, right. And if
it's
you really
everything.
Got it, and if you really got it, you know, I mean, it's not literal. And so if we could really understand it by ourselves, you know, yes, but you're right. It contains the whole metaphysics of the course. And this is the lesson that repeatedly, I don't know, he says it like 3 or 4 times, tells us there is no world.
Right. An exclamation point.
Apart from, you know, the world is an outward picture of the inward condition of separation in the mind. And that, you know, this is, he also repeats the theme in the text, ideas leave not their source, which is a way of saying exactly that we, you know, we have not left, in truth, we have not left the oneness joined as one of our true nature, with our undifferentiated union with God. But on the, you know, even on the second level that the course speaks on of you know, believing that we projected this whole world out to try to hide out in, to keep God from coming and finding us for what we had done, you know, that too is just an outward picture of this, that too is all happening really within the mind. Nothing really is out there.
Right.
And that of course is something that we can't, from our perspective as bodies, understand, but we still, even as bodies, have a spark within us that is our decision-making mind is still alive and active. And we still have the power, to go back to that decision-making mind, and make another choice. We've chosen to follow the ego's delusion, of separation realized and the need to defend it in a world full of bodies in conflict, but that's a mistake. And we can go back to the decision-making mind and choose another teacher, Jesus, Holy Spirit, this symbol of you know, the undifferentiated love we are that we share. And that is available, you know, that process of changing our mind is a dynamic process that can happen at any moment that we're willing to question our beliefs, you know, which is to question our reactions to what's happening in the world and in our lives, seeming lives, individual lives. And so, I mean, really the reason, and, you know, to put this in context, that I thought that this lesson would be especially helpful and meaningful for me, and I hope for others, is that we're in such a contentious situation right now in our political arena in the United States, and with the presidential primaries and, you know, election looming in November. And you know, we're seeing like an incredible amount of outpicturing of the conflict in our mind.
Really? I haven't noticed that, Susan.
And it's very easy to, you know, I vowed this year. So I've been doing the course long enough, so for 12 years. So I've had a couple of rounds of presidential elections here. And each time I vow that I'm going to make this, you know, this year different by making it all the same. And it's, you know, and each year it seems in quotes that the ante has been upped.
Yeah.
You know, the ego's like, really? You really want to like change your mind about this? Let me show you this picture, you know? And of course, you know, we're unaware that this is, that we're choosing to see it this way. We're choosing to run away and get swept into the world. It's not happening to us. But boy, within the world that we seem, the dream that we seem to be in, it seems all very real, and it seems very scary. And, you know, at times we just get, it's, I think everybody's, you know, antsy and anxious about this, and on some, you know, whatever your beliefs are, it's gotta be. I mean, you're anxious if you're the people that are screaming, and so angry, and you're anxious if you're the people that are terrified of people that are so angry getting into office, you know? Mm-hmm. So on either side, I mean, that truly is our sameness with an M, and it's truly our sameness with an N is remembering that, you know, that we're all frightened here. But that awareness comes through our cultivating in the present, in each present moment, you know, any moment, our inner relationship with that symbol, Jesus, Holy Spirit, of unconditional, you know, uninterrupted love in our mind that sees us only with complete compassion. You know, really does see the frightened child in everyone on both sides of this, and you know, is forgives. I mean, that sees that nothing we are doing or have ever done, you know, has any effect on God's love for us, and not then, not in the seeming tiny that idea, and not in the seeming now, which, you know, we believe a whole series of things has happened as a result of that separation in the mind. That, you know, it, I mean, we're not aware of that, but we're acting on that belief, we're acting out that belief. And we're terrified, you know, and so that is really the only way that you can account for what's going on right now. And it's in our best interests to see that we have shared interests here, because there's no way out of conflict until we do. And the only way that we can do that is again by returning to the mind. So this is, as you were saying at the beginning, I'm sorry to go on and on, but this lesson is really the part of the course, which is getting us to realize that we're not the individual selves we think we are. We have a decision-making mind, and that's who Jesus is addressing. That mind, that part of us, is what Jesus is addressing. And everybody, victim and victimizer, has that part of the mind. And my only job is to remember I have a choice when I become reactive, and to go back to that mind and take Jesus's hand and look at this differently. You know, mm-hmm. cause, he keeps saying in here, you will believe this until the source, the cause of these reactions is raised to doubt, is looked at with me as your teacher. You know, it's Jesus is speaking to us directly when he talks about, when he says you, you know, he's talking about you, the decision-making mind. And that's what we're learning. That's the great power of the course, is only to take us back to the decision-making mind. It doesn't really go beyond that. It's not a course in love. It's not a course in heaven. you know, if we could go to heaven, or and we knew what real love was, we wouldn't need to remember first that we're a decision maker. You know, we chose against real love. We're defending against that. We deliberately forgot it. So, you know, we need this interim process of forgiveness, of this unique forgiveness, which is just raising to doubt our reactions and, you know, asking to see them through a teacher that doesn't, you know, takes no prisoners, sees no divisiveness, and sees only our same need to go home.
Yeah. And this lesson, one thing I loved about it is it goes right back to the very beginning of the workbook and all of those lessons that say the world is exactly, we have given meaning to everything in the world and to the world, because this lesson starts out with what keeps the world in chains, but your beliefs, and what can save the world except yourself? Belief is powerful indeed. The thoughts you hold are mighty, and illusions are as strong in their effects as is the truth.
Right, right.
I mean, right there, just like blow me away.
Right. And illusions are as strong within the dream, within the illusion, as, you know, in their effects as is the truth, because we have a wild imagination. We have a powerful imagination.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they literally have effects, because again, you know, it's still an illusion. Mm-hmm. But within the illusion, it seems, that's why it seems very, very true. We deliberately, you know, imagined illusions that would pull us away from the mind so that we wouldn't go back there,
yeah, you know,
to the scene of the crime, so to speak. And, you know, but that is also our salvation. And, you know, we would rather carry on this individual experiment in individuality and, you know, believe, cling to the belief that it is somehow better than our reality within perfect, loving, eternal oneness, which you got to start to question at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I mean, it's just crazy out there. It's crazy. And it's crazy, you know, which means it's crazy within. The whole thought of this dualistic world was a crazy thought, and we're not going to find sanity in it.
Right. And just that idea, I love that visual. What keeps the world in chains but your beliefs?
Your beliefs. That's,
I mean, can't you just see that? It's sort of like we are chaining it up. It's all about what we believe. We make that real for ourselves, right, in this illusion.
Right. I mean, Jesus tells us elsewhere that, you know, brother, you but do this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is what, yes, this is, you know, we are hurting ourselves. And of course, Jesus as our teacher, the way that he motivates us is to get us to realize that we're miserable. He can't teach us if we think we're really, you know, that this is some kind of picnic down here.
Right.
You know, and so he needs us to pay attention to the hatefulness and to take responsibility for it. What happens, you know, the way that this is kept in, the world is kept spinning is through the ego's concealment, you know, concealing it. And how do we conceal it? We project it out. So it's in them. You know, it's all those hateful people out there. It's these hateful candidates. It's, you know, it's all of the hateful, whatever side you're on of this, you know, you've got villains galore, you know,
and
that's purposive. As Ken Wapnick always said, it's, you know, it serves a purpose, and the purpose is to keep me mindless. The purpose is to distance me from the pain of my decision for the ego and, you know, pin it on somebody else. And that way I can somehow think that this will still work, you know, that it's, I'm not the bad one. It's all of them, you know? And so it temporarily relieves my guilt. But of course it's, as Ken also said, it's a maladaptive solution to a non-existent problem. Separation never happened, and it doesn't make me feel better. It makes me feel better for how long, you know? And it seems like it's all speeding up, you know, the longer you live, it just, it doesn't, you know, it's, there's just one damn thing after another, and it gets crazier and crazier and crazier.
Right. But see what just paraphrasing what you've said, that's what I love about this lesson, because it just kind of strikes right at the heart. That's, you know, that all these things you believe, all these things that you think you're experiencing, you gave this meaning, you made it up. This is your imagination. In fact, he says, you have enslaved the world with all your fears, your doubts and miseries, your pain and tears, and all your sorrows press on it and keep the world a prisoner to your beliefs. The world is nothing in itself. Your mind must give it meaning. And That's why, once again, if we really take this lesson to heart, it goes right back to you're the decision maker. And not to make ourselves feel guilty, but to just quit pointing the finger outside, you know?
Because that's our real hope. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, so it's not too often, I think, in the course that you see a lot of exclamation points. And in this particular lesson, that's it. He kind of goes along and, then all of a sudden says, there is no world. And can't you just see it
again?
That's how he'd say it if he was standing on the mountaintop. Guys, there is no world, you know?
Yeah. It's like a John Adams speech from the right. And, the next, that first paragraph, actually the first, we read some of it, but I'm just going to read from the middle to part of the second, because it's the process of forgiveness. He says, a madman thinks the world he sees is real and does not doubt it. That would be me, right? I mean, that would be all of us. And nor can he be swayed by questioning his thoughts' effects. So, it's not about trying to change, to move the, as Ken used to say, the chairs around on the Titanic, to save the world, right? To change the effects. It is but when their source is raised to question that the hope of freedom comes to him at last. Yet is salvation, and we question our source. So what's really happening here? That's the first step of forgiveness. I'm not upset for the reason I think. What's happening here? Raising to doubt the cause, saying I'm upset with what I see happening on the news, but it's not for the reason I think. I want help to see what the real cause is. That's opening the door, and that's really the heart of what we're asked to do. And then he goes on, yet is salvation easily achieved, for anyone is free to change his mind. And once we open the door and we've invited, we're introducing, we're welcoming the part of our mind that's sane to kind of let us know what's the cause of this is, then all our thoughts can change with it, because we see that we see just nothing's really happening out there. Nothing is, not one note in heaven's song was missed, as the Course says. And we're still all safe. We're still all the same. We still all share the only interest that we can possibly really have here in the dream, and that is to awaken from it, to go home, So to change our mind. So now the source of thought has shifted, for to change your mind means you have changed the source of all ideas you think or ever thought or yet will think. You free the past from what you thought before and free the future from all ancient thoughts of seeking what you do not want to find. And the Course, elsewhere says, seek not to change the world. Choose to change your mind about the world. It's not about, moving the chairs around on the Titanic. There is no world.
Right.
You can't make it better. It was made from a conflicted thought, And so that doesn't mean that you don't do the normal things, but you change the purpose, like voting, like going to a caucus, like doing things that we were talking about before we got on here. But what it does mean is that you do them with the purpose. You make them a classroom. You make them a learning situation. In which you're willing to learn from a new teacher. You're willing to watch, to practice forgiveness and watch how reactive you become and loose the world, allow its release by raising to doubt the cause and inviting Jesus to look at it with you.
Mm-hmm. And I love that part of the, I don't know which paragraph it's in, a little bit further down, it says, perhaps you think that you did not make the world, but came unwillingly to what was made already, hardly waiting for your thoughts to give it meaning. Yet in truth, you found exactly what you looked for when you came.
Exactly.
And see, once again, it kind of goes right to the heart, so much for all the innocence of childhood, right? Innocent victims, we just came and the world now has shaped us. And he's like, perhaps you may think this, but in truth, you found exactly what you were looking for when you came.
That's right. And it's children are born with full-blown egos. Ken always said, too, that, spiritual people don't come here. Don't come here. We come here to duke it out with each other. You know, and it starts with our parents and gets worse from there. So, you know, it's again, the ego's mantra is always to prove that it really does exist apart from God, but it's not my fault. It's somebody else. And so we have no shortage immediately of people to blame. You know, the baby comes into the world screaming for a reason. You know, I didn't ask to be here. You know, I didn't ask to come into a world where I'm so vulnerable and have to depend on people who, you know, are clueless around me. Clueless, frightened parents, you know. So yeah, I mean, the Course asks us to take 100% responsibility for our reactions, for our beliefs and our feelings and judgments, which is radically different from any other spiritual path. It really is.
Well, and in fact, that's the other thing I was thinking. If anybody wants to argue that the Course, you know, believes that God has a plan, or that, you know, God is kind of manipulating in some way, you know, just read this lesson. You know, there is no world. These are the beliefs that we made up, you know, or these are our perceptions. In fact, in that one line, it says, but it is pride that argues that you have come into a world quite separate from yourself.
Right.
And I thought, boy, that kind of hits you between the eyes too, that it's pride that makes you think that.
Well, and he says in the sentence before that, in the end of the paragraph 5, it is not pride which tells you that you made the world you see and that it changes as you change your mind, but it is pride that argues you have come into a world quite separate from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the Course is, again, you know, the denial of truth is the denial of our oneness with God is really our arrogance. You know, that was the arrogant thought that we could be different from God, you know?
Right.
And that we did not, and to say, to deny that we, that that's our thought is really, you know, that is the arrogance. That is the authority problem that we all have. I could make a different world. I could make a better world. I could make a better God. And look at the God we
make. I could be a better president.
Right. Right. Well, and I mean, it's related too, because look at the presidents, you know, the presidential candidates, and listen to the rhetoric. And the people that are supporting rhetoric that would, you know, acclaim themselves as Christians.
Yes.
I mean, they're not just Christians, but like devout mm-hmm. Christians, evangelical Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the thought that we could be separate from God it wasn't damaging in truth, but it was damaging within the illusion because we then had to create a God, a punishing God, that would prove it really happened, because the real God would have no part of this. The real mm-hmm. God would laugh at this.
Well, and you know what? That's an important distinction that comes out in the Course in several places. And I'm glad you said that. You know, in truth, it doesn't harm us at all. But right. Where it harms us is because we're making ourselves miserable, and we don't, you know, and we're clueless sometimes about how to stop that. But in truth, it hasn't harmed us at all.
Exactly. There's not one note in heaven's song was missed. You know, there's no bodies were, you know, damaged in the making of this movie. But within the movie itself, it's a bloodbath, you know?
Right. Right.
So, you know, but I mean, God, but nonetheless, we're not aware of it anymore, but our true reality remains unsullied, you know, invulnerable, uninterrupted. And it's a joke that heaven could come to circumvent eternity. You know, the Course says it's not, I mean, God would never stop loving us. It's impossible. It's, you know, we are part of God, and it's impossible that we could have made this other alternative or would want to, you know, this different reality, which is so alternate to this. And so but we can't see that by ourselves. You know, we really, we have to, the humility that's required in this Course too, is the humility constantly, and I mean constantly, because, you know, because we're wrong all the time to admit that we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That my way isn't working. And, you know, it requires willingness and it requires some patience, because it's not what I immediately believe. And I have great resistance. We all have great resistance to letting go of this, because we've got it confused with our safety, with our protection. You know, we've identified ourselves as bodies and forgotten that we're anything else, you know? And so I don't think that, you know, I mean, I'd like to release this if I thought there was anything else.
Right.
But I don't.
Yeah. You know?
And when none of us do.
Well, and I was just thinking as you were speaking, it kind of popped into my brain, maybe because we were talking politics before we came on the show this morning. But when I went to my caucus last week, one of the things that happened was there, and we divided all into precincts. And so there were multiple people in different classrooms, and each classroom took their own vote. And so I have no idea how it all came out for that particular grouping. I mean, I know how Colorado came out, but I don't know how it, you know, each individual classroom voted. But I was leaving, and there was a man carrying his son out of the building, and the son was probably no more than 4 or 5 years old. And he was just wailing. I mean, just like his life was over, kind of, you know how kids can do that. Yeah. They're just wailing, you know. And so somebody said, "Oh, what's wrong?" You know, and he said, "Hillary lost." And, you know, and of course, a couple of us just kind of laughed, because here's this 5-year-old or 4-year-old, however old he was. And, you know, he's just crying. He's crying his heart out over something that I seriously doubt he had any real understanding about. And that kind of just reminded me of what we're doing, because in that moment, that was his world. In that moment, I'm sure he was reflecting either his parents or he was reflecting other people. I don't know what had gone on in the classroom. How funny is that? I don't know what had gone on in the classroom where he was, but his world was over, you know, and he was just crying and crying and crying. And, you know, and so often, you know, and even then, I mean, for all I know, his dad says, "Okay, well, let's go get a chocolate ice cream," and everything was fine, you know?
Right.
But we take so seriously everything that can happen to us. So whatever is in our face in this moment, we can take incredibly seriously.
Oh, and we do. I mean, I do. It isn't, you know, we don't, our default position is the ego, you know? And so it's not, you know, that a lot of the time anyway, even when you've been practicing this for a while, you're still, you know, it's catching your reaction that brings you, that is the invitation back to the mind, back to the heart. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, you've got to see what you're doing. You can't let go of something that you're denying, you know? So you have to see, you know, wow, I am really triggered here. You know, but that's your invitation to say, what's really happening? What's really happening? You know, cause it seems like it's because of you. It seems like it's because of this. It's because, you know, it's, and it, of course, we have no shortage in our individual lives of targets for our projections, you know, objects of projection, out there. But, you know, it's the process is the same. It's like, what's really happening here, and going back. And we're all like that little kid. You know, we're all really like pissed off when things don't go our way. Like, maybe we don't, you know, yell and scream anymore, but, you know, sometimes we still do, but, but, you know, most of us don't do that publicly anyway, in a group of strangers, but, you know, that's what's going on in the mind. We're pretty damn pissed off when things don't go our way. And as if we even knew what that meant, because we think our way and what's in our best interests is the interest of our personal self. And we're absolutely wrong about that.
Another great point that, you know, is made in the course, that we don't even know half the time what's in our best interest.
No.
And I shouldn't say half the time, most of the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Okay. Let's not mince words. All the time.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we really are. When we're doing this by ourselves, you know, which still is not, I mean, if we're not feeling kindly toward and compassionately toward everyone out there, you know, at any given moment, and toward ourselves, then we need help. Then we're wrong. You know, we're just wrong.
Yeah. And
we're not sinful. We're not going to burn in hell. You know, we're wrong. We're frightened. We've run away from love again. And the solution, and that's happening right now, you know, I mean, there is no time from the Course's perspective. And time was just an invention of the ego in which to act out the repercussions of this tiny mad idea of separation and the need to, you know, defend it with all these, this conflict. And, but the decision really is happening right now. We're just replaying that, that, you know, all the multiple forms of how that could have played out. And so the solution is right now. At any given moment, I can stop and say, I don't want this anymore. Right now, you know, I want to see things differently. And I need help to do it. You know, because the way this is looking is not good.
Yeah. And in fact, I want to read a little bit more from this lesson, because I think the other thing is, as strongly as it starts out, it really comes to this place of kindness and compassion, because it's after it says there is no world, it says this is the central thought the Course attempts to teach. Not everyone is ready to accept it, and each one must go as far as he can let himself be led along to the road of truth. He will return and go still further, or perhaps step back a while and then return again. But healing is the gift of those who are prepared to learn there is no world and can accept the lesson now. Their readiness will bring the lesson to them in some form which they can understand and recognize. Mm-hmm. And I love that too, because, you know, of course, I just kind of like to ram it down somebody's throat, right? Mm-hmm. But this is that reminder that, you know, everybody will come to this remembrance. They'll awaken from the dream. They will come on their own when they are ready. And their lessons come to them in the way that they can recognize them.
Right, right. You know, I just, as you were saying that, I was reminded of, there's a quote from a Leonard Cohen song called, I forget what which song it's from, but anyway, the quote is, everyone to love must come, but like a refugee. Uh-huh. and I think that's kind of a, you know, that is, I mean, we think we are, you know, cast out and we will eventually though come back to love, you know, but it's not a hurry. It's not, you know, Jesus is infinitely patient with us. And there's many, many paths. The Course doesn't claim to be the only path, but it does. But the Course's path is through forgiveness, is through changing our mind about the world and what we think is happening to us, you know, the sense mm-hmm. of victimization that we're feeling all the time. And actually in the next paragraph, he goes on to say, and some will find it in this Course and in the exercises that we do today. And, you know, so the Course's way really is a gentle way of practice, this gentle way of practicing this new form of forgiveness, raising to doubt the cause of my sense of victimization and my reactions, and asking to look at them with this different teacher, you know, cultivating this inner relationship, changing the purpose of my life, everything that's happening in my life, to a classroom in which I'm learning every time I become reactive, that I have a choice, you know, that I've, mm-hmm. that if I'm reactive, I've made a choice for the ego, but I have, you know, I'm not this personal, vulnerable Susan. I have a part of me that is much stronger than this and can choose again.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, in one of the following paragraphs, it says, what is the lesson for today? Except another way of saying that to know yourself is the salvation of the world. To free the world from every kind of pain is but to change your mind about yourself.
Right. That's right. Yep. And previous to that, he says, you are as God created you. There is no place where you can suffer and no time that can bring change to your eternal state. How can a world of time and place exist if you remain as God created you? And of course, that's beyond our understanding, but that's where we're being led. Mm-hmm. What's going on? We are still that oneness joined as one. And the way we get back there is through this process, which can be gentle if we allow it to be. We usually don't. Mm-hmm. But of this process of forgiveness, which is just changing our mind. You know, that's how we change the world. Because the world itself, it's not about changing it in form. It's about changing our interpretation of it, which means that we no longer see ourselves as victims of it. You know, we see our sameness, and everybody's the same need of every heart to remember that they're not the home of evil, darkness, and sin, and that they still are welcome home. You know, that's, they have an ego too. They have, but they also have a decision-making mind, and they also have the Holy Spirit, Jesus. They also have the part of our mind that is all loving and all inclusively loving and could never throw love away. And so, you know, that's where compassion, there's no way that you cannot develop compassion for others and yourself through practicing this forgiveness, because it's impossible. Once you do step back to the mind and see that this is hurting you and open to Jesus, you know, just raise by just questioning, by just admitting you're wrong, you're inevitably, maybe not immediately and probably not immediately, but you will begin to see our sameness, and it will come to you in specific ways in the context of your dream script that you know, that show you that you're not under, you know, this person has the same need that you do and is not really the cause of your suffering, and you know, you can, the response then is love.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's it, is we can begin to not see ourselves as victims. We do the same thing with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we see that victims and victim, we really do begin to see, again, like I was saying, in the context of the political arena, this specific presidential one we were talking about, you know, you begin to see that when we become right-minded, it's not where we start usually, but as we see ourselves being, you know, seemingly pulled into this drama and taking, you know, digging our heels in and taking sides, we can also see that, you know, however hateful the rhetoric may appear, how frightened must the you know, the people supporting that rhetoric and the people, you know, spouting that rhetoric be underneath all of that, you know, to have to attack like that must mean that you feel terribly victimized on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all feel terribly victimized here. You know, that's our defense. And it's not true. And everybody's, you know, everybody shares that same need to heal their mind about that. And, you know, as this practice of doing it ourselves and making that the sort of the overriding purpose of our lives, even as we go about doing the normal things that we do, that working and taking care of our families and our bodies and going to caucuses and voting and, you know, just being normal, as Ken said, you know, but our willingness to be happy learners, or at least sometimes we're lucky learners, but, you know, to make learning our purpose and healing our mind our purpose, just that little willingness is in ways we don't understand and can't understand, felt by every mind, because there really is only, it's all happening in one mind. And so that, you know, the way you save the world is change your mind about the world. And so, you know, that's a very, very present thing that I can do right now at any time. And, you know, in that way, we're demonstrating that choice for all minds.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I've told you this story before, but it's one of those things that I don't think I'll ever let go of. And I had read it in a book that somebody had written. It was a compilation of some Course in Miracles stories or some different examples and analogies and things. But the story was of two women, and this is true, that were in concentration camps in Germany during World War II. And, you know, it was terrible circumstances, you know, with a lot of, you know, torture, etc. And the two sisters, one said to the other, you know, if we make it out of here alive, I really want to dedicate and devote my life to helping these people. Mm-hmm. And her sister, I think she ended up dying, but her sister later said, I came to realize that these people were not the victims. They were not the people who were incarcerated. The people she was talking about were the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And that just always stuck with me, that she really got that victim and victimizer are the same.
The same. That's the big lie, you know, that we're different. The ego always wants to make it about differences and always wants to find a villain. And, you know, I mean, if we are choosing to see ourselves victimized, then we are strengthening that thought system.
Right.
That there really is a villain and there is no villain. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's all, and it's something that, that you know, we outpictured from our imagination, but it's still, despite how real it seems, no bodies are, you know, being damaged through this, through the making of this movie.
Yeah.
It cannot.
That's right. No people have.
No, it's true though. You know, I mean, look how convincing it seems, you know, and we just want to jump right into the movie, and it's, you know, it's not, it's still not real. And we, but you know, again, we're not asked to like swallow that idea whole. We're asked to practice this, practice questioning the cause. Mm-hmm. That's all he's emphasizing here. I mean, he is telling us there is no world, but he's also tells us, you know, repeatedly in the course, we can't understand that without help. You know, he is here to help us learn that. And we learn it now, one forgiveness lesson at a time, you know, seeming lesson, not that God is giving us, not that Jesus is giving us, that whatever's happening in our classroom is our curriculum. That's our lesson, you know?
Right.
Well, why getting upset is my lesson for the day. You know, it's probably, it's more than, you know, there's multiple lessons in a day, I find. But.
Well, and here again, I love the way this lesson wraps up because it says, begin the 15-minute periods in which we practice today with this. I who remain as God created me would loose the world from all I thought it was. For I am real because the world is not, and I would know my own reality. Then merely rest. Alert, but with no strain, and let your mind in quietness be changed so that the world is freed along with you. So once again, this really, this gentleness, don't push it, don't force it. Introduce an idea and then merely rest and let your mind in quietness be changed.
Mm-hmm. Can I read one? You know, we're probably almost out of time, but I love that. And there's something right at the very end that speaks.
Oh, yeah, please. We have time. Go ahead and read what you'd like.
Okay. So he says toward the end of this, and right after that prayer, you know, in that area that you were looking at, he says in paragraph 16, you need not realize that healing comes to many brothers far across the world, as well as to the ones you see nearby, as you send out these thoughts to bless the world. But you will sense your own release, although you may not fully understand as yet that you could never be released alone. And again, it's not about, you know, we're not really sending thoughts out. It's not like the idea of affirming thoughts, you know, sending love to people, but it's changing our mind and making this about healing my mind is on some level, as I was saying earlier, healing all minds. It can't help but, and we can't, from our perspective, until we're awake, you know, no, see, to look to form of evidence of that healing is impossible because we don't know what anything means. You know, we don't know. It could be the best thing that's happening is the chaos that we're seeing, you know.
Right, exactly.
For the healing, the ultimate healing. So it doesn't, you know, we're not asked to look to outward for evidence of healing, but we are, you know, but we will feel it because we'll feel peace. We'll feel peace that is no longer attached to the world in the sense that it no longer bothers us. And we, all we feel is that compassion for the victim and the victimizer. And that means we'll feel loving toward ourselves, which we can't possibly feel when we're in this state of, you know, jumping in and trying to duke it out.
Right. Well, and following up with where you were reading, it says throughout the day, increase the freedom sent through your ideas to all the world and say, whenever you are tempted to deny the power of your simple change of mind, I loose the world from all I thought it was and choose my reality instead. But just that idea, the simple power to change your mind.
Right, right. And you could rephrase that to say, I loose the world from all I thought it was and choose my own you know, reality instead, or choose my teacher.
Choose my teacher. That's right.
Yeah.
I could choose to see this another way.
And that's all we have to do. You know, I mean, really, we try to do more and it's not
always.
Doesn't help.
Well, and in fact, would you share, you were sharing with me a vision that you had about this. Would you, we have a few minutes. Would you please share that?
Speaking to that point of we can't do this alone, and it's not really, I don't know, it's kind of like a dream, only I was doing a, to say it's a vision sounds so lofty, but I was doing a, you know, like a relaxation visualization kind of tape, which I have some, one that I a couple that I particularly like. And, you know, when I get anxious physically, I sometimes will do that. And, so I was doing this one that, and it's one of those ones that kind of talks to you about visualizing a place that, you know, a safe, beautiful place where it's completely peaceful and you have no responsibilities and all that. And, so, and, you know, it's always, so I have this imaginary place that is a lake. It's near this beautiful lake and it's, you know, there's a lovely little house there and there's always, you know, a nice little breeze and it's sunny and there's usually cookies and tea on the table. and so, and I love the water. I love lakes. So it's just this very idyllic place. And, and then it encourages you to, you know, to visualize, you know, your higher self or some symbol that would be very, very comforting to you. And in this particular time that I did it a couple weeks ago, you know, I sort of visualized Jesus, and which I sometimes write about, you know, as our teacher, and I write funny stories about. But anyway, so he showed up, and so he was standing in a rowboat at the end of the dock, and you know, so I walked down toward him, and he was holding out a life jacket, like one of those kids' life jackets that's bright orange, like what we used to have when we were kids, and, you know, holding out his hand. And so I put on the life jacket and I took his hand and I got in the boat, and he started, you know, he was just being, you know, sweet Jesus. And so he starts rowing us out, and it's all like dappled light and gorgeous. And I said, you know, I immediately sort of felt guilty a little bit that he was rowing. And so I said, well, you know, like I can row, you get tired. Like I know how to row. I can do that. And, you know, it wasn't really a conversation, but it was sort of an exchange of this conversation, even though it wasn't spoken. And what I heard from him was just really, you know, just this really beautifully looking into my eyes and saying, no, your only job was, you know, just sit back and relax. Your only job was to get into the boat. And so, you know, I thought that was just such a great metaphor for we just need to turn toward him. We just need to take his hand, and you know, the rest is up to us. I mean, the undoing of the guilt in our mind is done for us. We don't need to try to row the boat. We can't.
Right. We just need to get into the boat.
And we're not very good at it. So we just need to get in the boat. We just need to choose him. You know, go back to the mind and choose him as our teacher.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I remember as I was listening to Ken Wapnick talking about some lessons recently, he ended one of them by saying, all you need to do is take his hand.
Yeah.
Just take his hand.
Take his hand. Yep. I mean, he's got our, you know, I loved the idea that it was a life jacket was like the symbol because he has our back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the direction we're going. We don't, on the journey, you know, we just, all we have to do is keep turning back to him and taking his hand.
Right.
Yep.
That's beautiful. So, well, thank you so much for sharing this. And thank you for suggesting lesson 132. I think you and I are almost always in sync with things, but there again, the course is so holistic, you know, or holographic. It's hard to choose a lesson that wouldn't be great. But when you suggested this one, and truly, like I said, I had been at that caucus a few, you know, last week. And so I was ready to hear a lesson like this. Trust me. I was very ready to hear a lesson like this. So thank you for that. So before we close the show today, though, do you have any announcements that you'd like to make?
You know, I don't really accept my usual plug for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. They are converting a lot of they're doing this huge book sale of their inventory because eventually they're just going to go to ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff on their website, you know, there's lots of information about things that they're kind of clearing out their written materials, books of Ken's, and there's some great deals on that. And then they just released their new schedule through July for the classes in Temecula, and which are, you can also do streamed from your home, which is, you know, a wonderful way if you can't get out there. I just did the February streamed class, and oh my God, it was, you know, again, I think they can't get better, but they do, and more, you know, deep and challenging in some ways, but we need to challenge ourselves because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to pay attention to this. So they really up your forgiveness practice and you know, healing really. And so I can't recommend those highly enough. And then I'm doing a webinar right now, but I don't think you can, on parents and children, but I think it's too late to register for that. But I might be doing some more of those in the future with Miracle Share, which is another group that a young woman named Danielle Scruton that I've sort of teamed up with from there. And she's great. But so maybe I shouldn't even say that because I think it's too late because we're already like,
But it's something for somebody to know for in the future.
Yeah. There could be more of those. And certainly parents and children is a wonderful topic for A Course in Miracles because it's such a, you know, crash course in special relationships and our first special relationship. We're all children, even if we're not parents, and we all have, you know, ultimately, difficult relationships at some point with our parents. So there's wonderful books on the foundation's website. There's a couple of small books of Ken's on the parent-child relationship, Parents and Children, Our Most Difficult Classroom. And there's also a CD set by that name. Couldn't recommend those more highly either. So that's it.
Okay. And that website is www.facim.org. It's the foundation for A Course in Miracles. Okay. Susan, go ahead.
I was just going to say my website too.
So,
and there's some good stuff about the foundation and some great interviews there. And then I blog a lot about my own practice and there's information on my books at www.forays.com.
Great. Well, thank you. And Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It is. I mean, I love our conversations. I so look forward to them. So thank you. And thank you to all the listeners and everybody in the chat room. And thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver, for taking care of the show today. And remember that you can always find me for readings, personal consultations, mentoring, and coaching on 12listen.com. You can find me teaching on 12 Academy. And you can also find me every Tuesday here on 12 Radio with my other show, Simple Tales. But for today, I hope that you will stick around. We've got a lot of great live programming coming up. And so in just a few minutes, it's going to be The Through Line with Christine DeMaurier. So I hope you'll stick around. And until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and with my guest, Susan Dugan, on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about politics.